It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We're right here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled on a historic Friday right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Wild week. What's capped off one of the wildest weeks in local sports talk radio in the history of this market. My heavens. And look, if you're just picking up on it right now, if you didn't get all the alerts, Rudy Gobert traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves for a host of players and a handful of picks in what has become an insane amount of assets that the Jazz have picked up. I would encourage everybody to not get too married to all the names probably over the next few days. Learning about all these guys, Scott, and we've got Hans and Scotty still with us back in the studio. We're at the warehouse here in Salt Lake City where we're going to be doing the show. We have some Jazz gear to pick up. I don't know if we have Gobert gear over there, Brady, do we? Maybe it might be the time. I don't know if
there's items now.
It might be. So, yeah. Obviously, a huge day, and we'll bring in Hans and Scotty. You guys just did a masterful job walking this thing through. I guess the first reaction that we all had was this intense mix of how meaningful that Rudy has been, obviously, for the franchise, and listening to Locke on you guys' show break down so many of the things. Everybody knows what Rudy's kids is, but there's so many things that go unsaid and so many things that are, please don't talk about these things, that the impact that he has, very similar to his game, where it's like there's some intangible stuff in there, but it's become a wild day for the Utah Jazz, and there's
why,
that
why
feeling.
Why is it a wild day, though?
Oh, come on.
No, I mean seriously, it's like, look, I know Rudy Gobert is a great player, and you watched him every year. He got better every single year. Who he was and what he was phenomenal.
Right.
But today's NBA is not Rudy Gobert. Where the Jazz want to go, what people want to do today, I think, you know, we've heard this ad nauseum since the season was over. Okay, how do you build the Jazz moving forward? Well, Rudy Gobert has to go.
Right.
So why should anyone be upset
because
or shocked or surprised today by this?
You get a little surprise when you trade a Hall of Famer. That doesn't happen every day, Scott. I mean, that's why. Because it's a Hall of Fame player that you just traded and you got a haul for. And,
you did get it. Historic haul, too, right?
Yes,
I mean, like,
absolutely.
You're only allowed to give 4 first-round picks, but they somehow were able to sneak in this year's first-round pick on top of it, too. And so this is the business Scott talking here, who just goes, I know, we know how awful these business transactions can be. And Jazz fans I know a 13-year-old at my address who's not going to be very happy about all this. And, like, it doesn't matter. There's a million people who are going to be upset about it. The question is this a rebuild versus a retooling? And right off the bat, I don't know where you guys totally stand on this, but everybody's waiting for some sort of a news of Donovan Mitchell maybe being moved. I know that's a possibility, but do you think that that's something that really is going to be on the table for Danny Ainge? I guess anything is.
I don't expect Donovan Mitchell to be moved. I think when Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out about the haul and then said expectations are the Jazz will rebuild around Donovan Mitchell, I think he's been told that Donovan Mitchell's safe. And when I look at the haul that they've taken in now for Royce O'Neal and Rudy Gobert with all these picks, and we were talking about this with David, I think that this is all in an effort to bring a guy like DeAndre Ayton or to bring a piece to put next to Donovan Mitchell. I can't imagine Donovan Mitchell's just going to stand by and say, All right, I'll give you 3 years. Yeah, go ahead. Use those draft picks and try to draft and develop talent around me. No. I see this as the Utah Jazz stockpiling to try to make a pretty dramatic move to keep Donovan Mitchell happy.
how much of a move can you really make? I mean, if they're all based on Minnesota and it looks like Minnesota is trending towards being a playoff team, and it just seems like these aren't necessarily the most valuable picks you would have. So what can you get? I mean, what is the real value? What do these picks actually mean?
Well, it's a good question, and I think that these are first-round picks, and regardless, and especially unprotected first-round picks and one top five, again, you could look at in the grand, and I know, you know, you hop on Twitter like, well, these are going to be in the 20s. They're not going to be worth anything. These are going to be good players. First-round picks are great assets in terms of making trades work when you're trying to acquire players, when you're trying to finish off a trade. These are little things that you can work into a trade that's going to certainly sweeten the pot and get you over the top when you need to make salaries work and things along those lines. So I know at face value, if you think Minnesota is going to go on a tear and be in the Western Conference Finals for the next 6 or 7 years, the absolute value of these picks may not be high in terms of that, but in terms of your ability to trade and the assets that come because of it, it's actually pretty phenomenal, honestly. And the fact is, you throw in I tweeted out some of the college stats on Kessler, and I immediately got blowback. Well, he's still not Rudy Gobert. I know that.
Of course.
Calm down, everybody. But that's still another first-round pick of a guy that went 22nd overall. So you throw him in the mix, and there's your five first-round picks.
And then we also know in the NBA, and Scott, you know this from your time in the NFL, things change year to year. You know, Carl Anthony Towns, if he gets unhappy with something, you've got Anthony Edwards. I think that he is kind of an unpredictable character that could lean one way or the other, or could feel one way or the other. Maybe the mix just doesn't work with Rudy Gobert and Carl Anthony Towns in the front court. You know, I know perceivedly it looks like the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be a top 6-7 team in the Western Conference for an extended period of time. But you know as well as all of us, man, like sometimes personalities don't mix, and maybe that thing falls apart. And those unprotected picks are like gold.
You only need one to hit.
You only
honestly
need one, and it's like liquid gold, man.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, and you talk about things changing. And to me, a lot of this feels like Ryan Smith, Danny Ainge, a new regime putting their stamp on things. They had these players, but they weren't Ryan Smith's picks. They weren't Danny Ainge's picks. They want to do their whole thing. I mean, the rebranding to me was a massive foreshadowing of the Jazz making significant moves and changing the whole trajectory of the Jazz. I mean, the Jazz rerun. They wound this thing back again. Right. They said, okay, we were really close 2 years ago, so let's rewind it. Let's re-sign everybody and let's have a go at this. And I think they realized that that wasn't enough to be successful. And the only chance the Jazz have right now to really make any moves to get, like you talk about, to stockpile draft picks to get better is they've got to move one of their big-time players. Well, I mean, that's the only option the Jazz had if they're going to be a better team and if they're going to contend.
So with Rudy Gobert going to the Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange for all these names, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, those are two guys that I don't see – like if you see guys in Jazz uniforms,
I just want Patrick Beverley
like,
to be here. It's just fun.
But I'm with you on that, Scott.
Yeah, we love a train wreck. Come on,
listen.
This is fun.
The Jazz have owned a bunch of guys in even recent history that everybody else in the league hates for a reason, you know. And I was like, yeah, but we like them because they're here and they're on your team. And if, I mean, you talk about a defensive minded team. I bet Will Hardy be licking his chops about having a guy like Patrick Beverley.
I think Patrick Beverley would actually enjoy the home team hating him. I think he would be a guy that would relish that.
Listen, they'd be on – Jazz fans would be on board immediately for any of these guys, but you can't imagine that everybody's going to be that. But Jared Vanderbilt's an interesting thought on there. But Walker Kessler, the 22nd pick of this year's draft, like you were saying, Scotty, like the – you know, getting into the numbers and everything, who knows what you're actually going to get? Who knows what you're actually going to be seeing on the, in a Jazz uniform when things really when everybody gets together for camp? What's this really going to look like? How many more moves are going to be done? It's going to be a wild summer. We've just gotten started is the feeling, obviously, and that's why this is an insane day, starting with the Rudy Gobert stuff. But, I mean, it's going to get even more wild, I'm assuming.
Please please understand when I say this that this is just me speculating at this point, but I would, in terms of Bogdanovich, Clarkson, and Conley, if you have two out of those three, I would be surprised.
Yeah. Oh. No, I mean, I think nobody is safe at this point unless they've just decided, hey, Rudy Gobert is the guy. But we talk about how much people love Jordan Clarkson here, how much people love Bogey here, how much people love Mike Conley. The reason that you love him is because they can be absolutely serviceable for this team and great, and that's why they would make really, really good assets if you're going to make a move like getting another big, because that's what you don't have right now. Just look at the roster. Everybody's putting a question mark next to what that five would be, and if you're looking at Jared Vanderbilt at 6'9 and saying, yeah, he's played some center before, if that's your only option right now, Azubuike, of course, is still working through some injuries and still trying to figure some things out. But who your big is obviously what the question mark is for the Jazz and likely what most of the moves are going to be centered around.
But I also think that's a question that's going to be answered pretty quickly because go back and just look at Will Hardy. You know, look at the school that Will Hardy comes from, one of the best scoring big men in the history of the game in Tim Duncan. You know, and he's seen the bigs. You go back to last year, I know they didn't ask a lot of Robert Williams, but Al Horford comes in and he plays a lot of that big, that five, and he moves out to the three and he knocks down big three after big three. Al Horford took a lot of responsibility for Boston to make the push to the finals. So he wants scoring from his big. That's why DeAndre Ayton makes more sense to me, you know, a move for a scoring big. And that also helps, it makes sense to me why the Jazz would move on from Rudy Gobert. It feels like they hire Will Hardy and they're Danny Ainge and Will Hardy are sitting down talking together. Like, and as you were mentioning, Scott, you know, this is a new regime. They want to put their touch on this. And they're like, well, what do we want our roster to look like? Well, mm-hmm. It's not a shot blocking big. It's a scoring big. It's a rotator. It's a guy that can be out to the perimeter. And I expect to see a completely different front court look that has more of a scoring touch than what Rudy Gobert could give you. So, yeah, to your point, Scott, I think we're going to see their touch put on this, and I think that leads to more scoring from the big.
So you have a you know, rotational players that you picked up in the trade. Because I'm trying to figure out, okay, we know what we got rid of in Gobert, right? An amazing defender, a great player, all those things, Hall of Famer. You got rid of him, but what did you really get in place for him? And what does that mean for the Jazz moving forward? Is it you have rotational players, but you look at the teams that are successful, they have that superstar. And is Donovan Mitchell, is he that guy? Is he the Luka? Is he the Steph Curry? Is he the Jason Tatum kind of player for the Jazz? I mean, is he ready for that role? Can he fill that role? Does a different look in the Jazz make him allow him to be a more complete player? I mean, I heard you, Hans, talking about Donovan's not really good defensively and doesn't have Rudy Gobert anymore. If you're going to really contend for a title, you need that superstar on your team. And is Donovan Mitchell that guy?
As of right now, no, he's not. And there's nobody that's sane that will say that the Jazz are better today than they were 24 hours ago.
Right.
That certainly is not the case. This is not about next year. But the Jazz, in about 24 hours, have picked up a ton of assets and a ton of financial flexibility when they were one of the most cap-strapped teams with no assets 24 hours ago. So this is Danny Ainge playing chess. This is a long-term thing here. And my thought on Donovan Mitchell, honestly, and again, this is just my opinion. I think the Jazz are saying, look, this isn't, you know, a lot of people say, you know, the Woj tweet about the Jazz are building around Donovan Mitchell. I think it's more like the Jazz are not willing to give up on Donovan Mitchell yet. And saying, look, we understand you might be a little salty with where you're at or the community or wherever you've got your sights set on bigger things. We're going to give this another year, and we're going to take Rudy out of the mix. We're going to give you complete control of that locker room. And the board has now been set. The Jazz have now set the scene on what they're asking for their superstars, for their all-stars. And so Danny Ainge has said, look, I like four firsts. I like some players, and I like some financial flexibility for my All-Stars. And so Danny Ainge has told the rest of the NBA what the asking price is. I think they're going to roll with Donovan Mitchell, and if it continues to get sideways on him, then they'll be ready. We might be doing another show like this a year from now.
Yeah. Well, it's been fascinating to listen to you guys roll this thing out all day. A phenomenal job listening to you guys all day, being able to break this stuff down. Boss, are we working on Monday, or what's
Well, I'll tell you what. If another shoe drops, we might. So yeah.
Listen, I'll stay at I'll sleep at the warehouse. There's enough mattresses here. I can figure it out. We'll just keep the gear here, and we can figure this thing out.
Let's
awesome
go.
Job today.
Hey,
you guys
thanks,
burned
guys.
All the calories, so fantastic job. We'll talk to you again on the flip side here. We're going to have
sounds
Ben
good.
Anderson coming up in just a little while. Of course, our Jazz insider for KSLSports.com. Also, you hear him, of course, on Jake and Ben, and he was on Hanson Scotty right when all this stuff broke, and now he's had a little bit of time to digest all this, Scott, and so I think we're going to be able to kind of see a little bit more of a picture. Stuff is still a little is a lot out of focus right now.
Right.
But we'll try to rack focus a little bit on this and see where we're at with this Jazz team who now have officially traded Rudy Gobert. And you're going to be getting in exchange a handful of players from Minnesota and four first-round picks. And then on top of it, this last year's the 22nd pick, Walker Kessler also. So you've got a ton of stuff in the works and a lot that's still in movement, but we're going to try to make sure that we can get all those the ins and outs of all this. Ben Anderson's going to join us next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at KSLPodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.